Forgers and Artists, True Stories. Narrated by Paul Sparrow. Tom Keating, the man of 2,000 counterfeits. Thomas Patrick Keating was a British man born in Lewisham to a poor family in 1917 during the First World War. He claimed he made over 2,000 forgeries without ever accepting to identify any of them. At Keating's death, the auction house Christie's organized a sale, including 204 of his listed forgeries. Where are the rest? Given his talent and the profusion of his creations, you've very probably seen some of them in museums or galleries you've visited. What is it that made Tom Keating so special? Let's find out. After being expelled from St. Dunstan's College in London at the age of 14 because he couldn't afford the £14 of books and clothes, Tom Keating took a series of odd jobs: bellhop, shampoo man, elevator operator, delivery boy. He tried to learn his father's trade as a house painter, but was enlisted as a driver by the British Royal Navy until 1944. Then he was declared unfit for service because of a weak heart. His military pension enabled him to attend art classes at Goldsmiths College, the University of London, for 2 years in order to become a teacher. His technical marks on the examination were excellent, but his lack of artistic culture and his modest origins undermined his ability to create original work. He failed. Out of spite, Keating turned to the restoration of paintings on the London art market. His first job was at Hahn Brothers in Mayfair. Tom acquired knowledge that he would use later to make forgeries. This would be a kind of answer to his destiny as a failed artist. At Hahn Brothers, Keating meets the man he calls Fred Roberts, an art dealer and unscrupulous restorer. One day, Tom paints a picture in the style of Frank Moss Bennett, whom he strongly criticizes, but he signs it with his own name. Sometime later, Roberts erases Keating's signature and replaces it with a forgery of Bennett's before selling the painting in a West End gallery without telling Keating about it. The young artist learns of this when he goes to the same gallery and discovers all the paintings he had previously restored or altered on Robert's behalf. All of them have gained in value through his additions, a little girl here, a couple of skaters there. It is then that he realizes how counterfeit the art market itself is. How many other gallery owners have made money on the backs of broke artists? How many artists have died in destitution to enrich the dealers? This revelation makes him want to revolt, to take revenge on their behalf. He's going to show these dealers that he can also provide stuff. At the time, he lives with his wife and two children in a small apartment in Forest Hill, a district of southeast London. There, Keating scours the flea markets to buy old, worthless paintings, restores them, and repaints them in the manner of Peter de Hoogh, Adrian Brouwer, Gabriel Metsu, or Cornelius Krieghoff. He plans a sort of time bomb with a countdown of 10 years. His technique is quite simple. He cleans secondhand canvases with alcohol and repaints them with a layer of glue. He paints on this surface and applies a layer of darkening varnish before the paint hardens. This technique would be immediately detectable by any scientific test. This is the trap. If no test is done, the canvas will be hung on a museum wall and admired. Its texture will inevitably crack, peel, and reveal the deception to the world. All that will remain of his canvas after a few decades will be the original painting. Tom Keating's goal, and this is his particularity, is not to make money, but to flood the art market. He wants to, quote, sell as much bad stuff as possible to these dealers. He only sells his creations for a few pounds each, just enough to pay for his materials. Keating leaves London and his family in 1956 for a job as a traveling restorer in Scotland. There he begins to paint in the manner of French artists such as Sisley and Renoir. He does not sell his works for more money, but entrusts them to auction houses. Then, back in London, he distributes Krieghoff all around him, allowing the poorest to sell them for a few cents. He sows the seeds of decline of the art world that he despises. He delights in seeing some of his forgeries end up being sold in auctions at Sotheby's or Phillips without anyone ever suspecting anything. The rumor of forgeries and the influx of works on the market lowers the price of Krieghoff's works to the delight of Keating, who rejoices to see his plan work so well. The profits of art dealers are melting like snow in the sun. Keating also wants to make art accessible to everyone. The paintings he made were so. In 1962, a couple of gallery friends convince him to move upmarket and sell more of his paintings. The Expressionists, who Keating considers arrogant and very easy to imitate, sell very well to collectors. Tom Keating paints, and the couple act as intermediaries. In his autobiography, The Fake's Progress, the forger explains that he produced 21 paintings in a single weekend. He uses the same process, acrylic and glue undercoat. What is different this time is that he adds, before the undercoat, rough words in lead white. If the paintings are scanned, dealers will immediately see the problem. A dozen are sold to Harry Tatlock Miller, director of the Tony Redfern Gallery in Mayfair, for a pittance. Five of them find a buyer at an exhibition. That same year, he paints a self-portrait in the manner of Edgar Degas. The following year, at the age of 46, he gives painting lessons to young students in exchange for tobacco or art books. This is how he crosses paths with Jane Kelly, a teenage girl with whom he falls in love. Aged only 16, she convinces her parents to pay Keating for her full-time education. After her studies, she becomes his life and business partner for 4 years in Cornwall, where they set up a small art restoration business. Tom Keating develops a particular admiration for Samuel Palmer. He admits to having produced over 200 watercolors in the Palmer style. Keating admires Palmer's work and seeks to emulate it. Jane then takes care of selling them. In 1970, Geraldine Norman, art critic and auction house correspondent for the Times of London, discovers 13 watercolors attributed to Samuel Palmer. Finding them all too similar, she calls upon Jeffrey Grigson, a renowned specialist, to conduct scientific tests. The first ones are Keating's from when he started his forgeries 20 years before. The tests, of course, reveal that all these watercolors are fake, and Geraldine Norman publishes an article. The hunt for the forger is on. But it isn't until 1976 that Geraldine Norman meets Jane Kelly's brother, who tells her everything and gives her the address where to find Tom Keating. Intrigued by the forger, Geraldine Norman goes to his home. Keating welcomes her and unpacks his life, his convictions, his motivations, his fight against the dictates of the art world. He poses as a socialist of the working class, seeking to give back to the people what has been stolen from them. The Times publishes Norman's article denouncing Keating's actions, which will be publicly confirmed. In 1977, Keating is arrested, as is Jane Kelly. In order to lighten the charges against her, Jane chooses to plead guilty and agrees to testify against her ex-partner. Tom Keating, although he admits to having painted the forgeries, says he'd done so under the influence of the missing painters and therefore had no intention of defrauding them. He also repeats that he never made any money with these paintings. He was simply seeking to destabilize this market corrupted by incapable experts. During the trial, and after being seriously injured in a motorcycle accident, Keating contracts bronchitis and goes to hospital. Already suffering from heart and lung disease, the doctors are pessimistic about his fate. The judges prefer to declare a dismissal. Shortly after the charges are dropped, while Jane Kelly has pleaded guilty and has to serve out her sentence, Keating's health improves. His biography, written by the Times journalist Geraldine Norman and her husband, Frank, was released on July 4, 1977. Geraldine Norman would also author a catalogue raisonné of Tom Keating, published the same day. In 1982 and 83, Keating made a series of television programs to teach the techniques of the old masters for Channel 4 in the UK. Tom Keating died in 1984. Since then, his stock has risen considerably, and his works are still very popular at auction. They can go for tens of thousands of pounds. Did you like this episode? Feel free to comment, share, and rate it. See you soon for new stories. Midnight Studio, addictive podcast creator.